I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord is holding our hand. Very thankful for the consolation of that and that He is there for us. Desire and interest in your prayers. I'm a little unsteady and dizzy and some other things this morning. So I'd like the Lord to give strength as we look into the Word of God. For Renee writing the title on the board, Assessing the Matter. And the Lord gave me this message for this morning, this week. I'd been looking to the Lord and said, Lord, what message do you have for us? And the Lord began talking to my heart. And after I felt like the Lord had given me the message, I was like, Lord, that sounds kind of very similar to what I preached a couple weeks ago. It's not the same message. It's from the same Spirit. It's from the same Word. And I think the Lord, I know the Lord has something He's wanting to communicate to us. 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave a message on what really matters. What really matters in life. And I guess this would just be a first cousin message from the Lord to us this morning. I'd like to begin over in the book of Proverbs in the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Scripture says to ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet. And I would just like to encourage us this morning to ponder the path of our feet. To assess something means to weigh it out, to assess, to ponder, to examine. And the Scripture here says to ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. In other words, to weigh out carefully. Consider your life this morning. Contemplate where you're standing. I know all of us are in a little different place in life. Financially, physically, spiritually. But consider where you're at this morning. Will you do that? You don't have to get up and publicly declare where you're at, but I would that you consider where you're at. And when we consider the path of our feet, it is also taking into consideration the direction that we are going. If we continue this morning to go down the path that we are on, where is it going to take us? Where are we going to end up? Because all of us have a destination this morning. And when we come to a fork in the road and we choose a path, that path has a destination. And so when we were challenged here to ponder the path of thy feet, what David was saying is, consider where you're headed. Where are you going to end up? There are many people that say, well, I will never do that. But that's the path they're on. And you know if you continue down that road, this is where it's going to take you. Well, how did you get to where you're at this morning? Do you know wherever we are at with God this morning, there is something that brought us to that place? I think about how many times people that have experienced, and I'm sure that all of us have experienced a failure, the same failure, many times over. If we want to overcome a perpetual failure in our life, the question I've asked many times is, what did you do that led you to this place? Because we can talk about the failure, but every time when you failed, what were you doing? What condition were you in? Where were you? What influences were you under? And that's where we want to get to the root of the problem to make adjustments in the path of our feet. So if we're not standing where we want to be this morning spiritually, we need to change the path that we're on because we did not get to where we are by happenstance. We are where we are this morning because of choices and decisions that we've made. And so when he said, ponder the path of your feet, consider what led you to this place and consider where you want to end up. Well, where do you want to be in 10 years? Is that a fair question? If someone says, I want to have something laid in store for the future. If they're going out spending every dollar in their pocket, as my dad used to warn us when we made money as children, don't let the money burn. He actually said a little different when we wanted to buy something. He said, your money's burning a hole in your pocket. Some of y'all have heard that. Some people get some money and they just, well, I've got money. Mom, can you take me to the store? Why do you want to go to the store? Well, I don't know. I've got money. I'm going to find something to buy. See, that's a wrong mentality, isn't it? Because you have money doesn't mean you need to buy something. Lay it in store. So if you want to have something laid in store 10 years from today, ponder the path of your feet. What do we need to do? It means, do I really need that extra drink today? And I'm not talking about alcohol either. But do I really need to stop and buy that? Do I need to go through that drive-thru, or is there a cheaper option? You know, I'm going to take that money and I'm going to lay it in store. Because if you want something in 10 years, you're going to have to make sacrifices today. Ponder the path of your feet. So the Lord wants us to assess, to weigh out, to ponder the priorities of our life. What's priority in your life today? Do you know that we can know someone's priorities by the decisions they make? Someone told us recently, we asked someone to do something, and the response was, I really don't have time. You know, I understand not having time, but I knew this. They were prioritizing other things. They didn't want to do what we ask of them. And so I understand not having time to do everything, but they had time to do something, which meant they had other priorities. So what did Jesus teach us? That where your treasure is, there's what? There's your heart. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be too, isn't it? You can know where someone's priorities are based on the decisions that they make. So when someone says, I can't afford this, but I see that they're buying that, they're making a priority. They could afford that if they didn't buy that, but they made a choice. I would rather buy A than B, so I can't afford A because I'm buying A. Well, people say, I would like to serve the Lord. But are our choices and decisions reflecting that God is our priority? Is the Lord our priority this morning? Assess the matter. Ponder the path of your feet. If the Lord is really our priority, do you know that there will be fruits that begin to come from that? If the Lord is my priority, you're going to find that I'm going to have a desire to be in worship service. If I want to serve the Lord, you're going to find that I'm going to take time to read the Bible and feed on the things of God. You're going to find that I'm going to make decisions to do the things that please God, not the things that just please the flesh. But if my priority is to please God, you're going to find me being obedient to the word of the Lord. And that's how you can look on someone and you can see what their priorities are and if they really love the Lord, because you're going to see that's what they value. You see, I could have said I'm not coming to service this morning because I was busy. Did anybody have anything else you could be doing this morning? I'm preaching to folks that are here. Is there anything else you all could have been doing this morning? There is, but you're here. Why are you here? Because for some reason, we made it a priority, didn't we? Just because I come to service doesn't mean everything else is already in line in my life, but it means there's something inside. Now, some children may be here because they had to be here. Mom and Dad made me. I hope there comes a day Mom and Dad don't make you say, oh, let's go to service because I want to. But when you come because you want to, there's a desire in your heart for something. Do you realize that our desires and our priorities, when we assess the path and ponder the path of our feet, what comes out of that ought to reflect our purpose to serve the Lord? Well, as we assess and ponder the path of our feet, where is it going to lead my family? The path that I'm on today. And I would that every family, those that are here, those that might be listening this morning, that we can ponder the path of our feet and ask ourselves, if I go down this path, not only where is it going to take me, but where am I taking my family? Sometimes people say, well, I can handle this, but can my children? How am I influencing other people in my life? How am I influencing my husband and wife? How am I influencing the congregation? The decisions and the choices that we make are going to take us somewhere. And it would behoove every father and mother this morning to weigh some things out. The choices that we make are going to have eternal effects for our children and in our home. So it takes time to weigh some things out. Now, last week we read a scripture, and we won't take the time to read it this morning, but in the 14th chapter of Luke, Jesus talked about counting the cost. If you're going to build a tower, it would be foolish of someone just to start building a tower without first counting the cost. How much is it going to cost to build this tower? Well, it's important for us to assess the issues of life this morning. Count the cost. Weigh it out. What are the pros and the cons? Because we don't want to do something rash. And so let's weigh out what's important to us this morning. What's important to you in your life? And you can just answer this in your heart this morning, in your mind, but what's important to you? What are you doing about what you say is important? What decisions are coming forth from that? What has merit in what is worthless? Do you realize that sometimes you recognize that some things that we do really aren't worth a lot? It's worthless. I'm wasting my time doing this, and my time would be more valuable or effective in doing something different. Weighing it out. And then consider the outcomes this morning. Assess. See, this is about examination this morning. Weigh out the outcomes of the decisions that we're making. When I say I am going to go here, what are going to be the outcome of that? When I say I'm going to associate with this person, what are the outcomes of that association? Will it be a positive influence on me, or will it draw me away from the things of the Lord? When I say I'm going to go and I'm going to take a job, which jobs are important, part of life, but I'm going to assess the job that I take. Will it remove me from being in service? Will it remove me from having any time to spend with my family? When I assess and decide what I'm going to bring into my home, what I'm going to look at and what I'm going to listen to, consider the outcomes of that. If I teach my children, and I'm trying to teach them to live a holy life, and that's what the Lord wants, what are the outcomes if I let my children sit in my home and watch things that have impure things in it? What am I teaching my children? We're not talking about making a law. This is very personal this morning. Assess the outcome. If I say, children, the Lord wants you to live a pure life, and yet in the home, I let my children be entertained with movies, they're drinking, and there's fornication, and there's adultery, and today there's so much homosexuality in the entertainment world, and there's things that are not pure, and yet I tell my children one thing, and yet I let them be entertained with something else. What is the outcome of that? Ponder the path of your feet. What is the outcome of what we bring in our home, of where we go, of what we do? What are the outcomes? So Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're not going to read the whole book, but I'm going to touch on just a very few highlights in the book of Ecclesiastes as Solomon considered life. What's important? So we'll begin with Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now, there is some debate over who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, okay? Generally, we say Solomon wrote it. That's typically, you'll say, Solomon wrote it. There is some debate. That's not the purpose of this discussion this morning, of this message this morning. But we will assume for the purposes of this scripture that Solomon wrote it. The words of the preacher. Do you know what the word preacher here in the Hebrew means? That word preacher means a convener. Someone that convenes the people or calls them together for the purpose of giving them instruction. That's what this word preacher in the Hebrew means. So when it says the words of the preacher, the one that calls the people together to give them instruction, this is what he said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher." Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know what vanity means? It means empty. And so he calls the people together and he said, I look around, he said, vanity of vanities, empty of emptiness. What's empty this morning? This is where it comes in to assess the issues of life, to assess the matter, to ponder the path of your feet. So what is it that the preacher here was saying was empty? What is it that the preacher was trying to communicate in the book of Ecclesiastes that let us know there's not a lot of merit in this? It's just empty. It's vanity. Well, in the next verse, he said, "What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever." One of the commentators speculated and wrote something about that this very likely could have been said when Solomon looked on in, by the spirit of prophecy and knew the kingdom was going to be divided between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And much of the kingdom was divided to someone that was not of the lineage of David. And he looked on what his father had built and what he had built up the kingdom. And now the kingdom's going to be divided. And it's like, what profit is there in all of the work that we have done? Do you know we can build houses and we can have cars and we can amass wealth. But at the end of the day, it's vanity because we can't take it with us. If you get rich and you have something, you're going to pass on and leave it to your children, and they may squabble over it and quarrel over it, and then they may get some and pass it on to their children. Of what profit has it been? It's just vain. It doesn't have any lasting, eternal value. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Do you know that every generation could say this? What profit is labor under the sun? Because one thing passes from generation to generation, and at the end of the day, it's vain. It doesn't profit a whole lot. Yes, we have needs, but there's trouble in our world today, isn't there? There's so much unrest in our world. There was trouble and unrest in the time of Solomon. There was trouble and unrest, and he looked around looking for the meaning of life. That's what he was doing. He was looking around. What's the meaning of life? I want to examine some of the things that people are giving their hearts to. And his conclusion was, it's vain. It's empty. This isn't taking care of the world problems. We've had thousands of years to work. The philosophies of the world. Is our world in a better place than it was 100 years ago? What about 2,000 years ago? We have so much more wealth and education and knowledge and understanding, so-called. Are we in a better place? People are still fighting. Homes are still being broken up. They're still quarreling. People are still poor in our world today. There are still people that are going to bed hungry. Are we in a better place today? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. And then he went on in verse 4, he said, "One generation passes away, another generation come, but the earth abideth forever." In other words, there's something that's still here, the earth is still here, but generations just keep moving on. Vanity of vanities. In the 12th verse, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning things that are done under heaven." So this was his purpose. I'm going to go and I'm going to search things out. I want to assess life, and I'm going to ponder the path of the feet of our world. And it said, this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 17, he said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly, and I perceive this also as vexation of spirit. Who was the wisest man? Who do we credit as being the wisest man? It was Solomon, wasn't it? He had a great understanding. He pursued knowledge. But after he was done pursuing, he came to a conclusion. What was it? It's vanity. It's vanity. The more you know, the more you know the sorrow of mankind. It's not in wisdom. This morning, yes, there's a place for education. There is a place to know how to live life. But if our pursuit, and we think the answers of life are going to be found in academia, they're going to be found by higher education, just to go and learn the philosophies of man, I will say you're opening yourself to just more vanity. It's empty, it's vain. Well, to have a little more education, there's nothing wrong with it in its proper place. But I'll tell you, what has education done in our world today? What has the philosophy of the world done? We live in a world of wokeness now. You all know the term. What's that doing? Do you know what I see that term, people that are espousing that, what it's doing? It's causing more segregation. It's causing more racism. It's causing greater problems. Where there is injustice, let it be open and deal with it. But now to judge someone based on the color of their skin, I thought we were trying to move away from that. But what's happening in this generation, people are turning, and from all different cultures and tribes and nationalities, people are going back to a system that at one time it looked like we were growing out of and having more enlightenment. We are never, what does the Bible say? We are never to treat someone differently from the color of their skin or their tribe or their language or their socioeconomic status. The scripture says to treat all people with love equally because we're all God's children. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what the saints of God ought to be teaching. But what has our world done? It's gone from one extreme of evil, of prejudice and racism, to now under the term of enlightenment, they're doing the same thing. But the Bible has not changed. It teaches us to forgive our enemies, and it teaches us to love everybody equally as God has loved us. So what has education done? It's vanity. It's vanity. The things this world about how to raise children. Remember, Dr. Spock wrote his book. I don't remember what year it was. And people begin to espouse this doctrine of no corporal punishment. I didn't say capital. I said corporal. No corporal punishment, and just to reason with your children. Have you ever tried to reason with a one-year-old? And we wonder what it's done to our world today. Are we in a better place today? Is the philosophy of raising, how to raise children, better than what it's given in the scripture? I will say it's vanity, and I will add to it, it is vexation of spirit, like the preacher said. You cannot reason. So the way the Bible teaches us to raise children, it's the best way to do it. The world doesn't have to offer. What about self-indulgence? And we're going to be very brief here as we move through this. But in the second chapter, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Okay, it's not in wisdom and education. So I'm going to try to assess things based on pleasure. Maybe the joy of life is found in pleasure. Self-indulgence. You know what he concluded? He said, this also is vanity. And you read through that second chapter, and I'll just summarize it for you. He looked to wine. Maybe it's in alcohol. You know what he came to a conclusion? It's vanity. It's not found. I didn't find it in wine. I didn't find it in alcohol. In verse 4 through 6 of this chapter, he said he built houses and planted vineyards and gardens and put in pools of water. And then in verse 7 and 8, he got servants and maidens, and he amassed silver and gold, and he brought in singers of all kinds, and he brought in musical instruments, and he had whatever his heart desired. Looking, maybe this is the answer. Well, in verse 10, he said, "Whatever my eyes desire, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labor, and this was the portion of my labor." But he came to a conclusion in verse 11. "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and the labor I labored to do, and behold," you know what it was? It was vanity. "In vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It wasn't found in the pleasure of the flesh. It wasn't found in pursuing those things. It wasn't found in self-indulgence." In the 22nd verse and 23rd verse, he talks about toil. You stay up all night and you're toiling, and then you can't sleep and you're working hard and you're doing that. And at the end of the day, what did he have to say? The answer to life wasn't there either. I know we have to work. He talks about that through Ecclesiastes, I believe. But it's all vanity. It's vexation. In chapter 5, in the 10th verse, he talks about wealth and honor. Maybe that's where the answer is. Give ourselves to get wealth and put ourselves and maybe get in a position that people will recognize who we are. And there'll be some honors bestowed on us. Do you know what his conclusion was with that? If you guess, I don't think you'll be wrong. It was vanity. He came and he said, it's vanity. It's empty. It didn't satisfy. What he was saying is, I looked and I was looking around the world, weighing out and assessing. And he came to the conclusion is, I'm still empty inside. I'm empty. Wealth does not fulfill the emptiness in my soul. Honor and position, all of the servants and the nicest houses, I'm still empty inside. It's vanity. I brought in the musical instruments, the entertainment, the pleasures of the flesh, the alcohol and the drugs and the partying and all the things that many in the world are seeking after. Maybe that will satisfy me. Maybe that will make me happy. Well, he said, it's vanity. I'm still empty inside. Okay, then I'll give myself to work. I'll be a workaholic. I won't follow pleasure now. Now I'm going to see if I can find it in work. With what I have done with my hands, what did the preacher conclude? He said, it's vanity. I'm still empty inside. There are people that are covering their emptiness by seeking after wealth this morning. There are people that are seeking to fulfill the emptiness with the pleasure of the flesh, but they're still empty. And then some people try to sanctify and say, I just work hard. And they're trying to cover the emptiness that's inside. It's still all vanity and vexation. So where are we at this morning? Can we assess life? What's important to us this morning? What is it that's going to fulfill the deepest needs of our hearts? And so he came to a conclusion. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We have two more passages we're going to look at here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and there's a lot between chapter 2 and chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 9. He said, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." He wasn't encouraging young people to go out and follow the things of this world, but what he was saying is, you have the privilege to do it. You can go out and follow after wealth. You can follow after the pleasure of the flesh. You can follow after the things that the world has to offer. You have it, but I want you to remember something. He said, you can go do it, but he said, know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You wonder why all these things are vanity and vexation of spirit. It's because it does not satisfy the deepest need that is in our heart. And we can try to cover it up and we can try to make it holy even. Religion will not satisfy. Religion is vanity. Religion is vanity. But serving God is not. He said, go out and live, But I want you to remember something. For everything you do, God is going to bring you into judgment. Would it not behoove us this morning to assess the matter? What are we doing in our homes? What are we teaching our children? What are we communicating? What are we doing with our lives that are going to make a true difference? Ponder the path of your feet. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last chapter of this book, the last two verses, let us hear the conclusion of the whole, what? The whole matter. I've assessed the matter. The preacher in Ecclesiastes assessed the matter. I look to pleasures, I look to work, I look to wisdom, I look to all these things. Now, let's hear the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything else is vanity this morning. What's the conclusion? That was his conclusion. The conclusion of the whole matter of life is to fear God. Respect God. Give credence to His Word. Put importance on what the Bible teaches and keep His commandments. You will find Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? I am come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. He also said, I am come that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The things of this world, some of them are lawful. We have to work. We need money. All those things are lawful. I don't want to give my heart to it because it's vanity. It's empty. But what will bring satisfaction to the depth of the needs of my soul is Jesus Christ. I am come that you might have peace. You won't find it in drugs and alcohol. You won't find it in other people. You won't find it in just religion. You won't find it with all the pleasures of the flesh. You won't find it by getting higher education. You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. And the conclusion of the matter was, fear God, keep His commandments, because we're going to give an account for how we have lived. I don't want to end up at the judgment seat of God, empty, having filled my life with the vanity of this world, but I want to live my life meaningfully. And the only way I can do that is if I will ponder the path of my feet today and assess the matter and then act accordingly. May God bless you. Amen.